What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Ask Paul. My name is Paul Abernathy, your host for this series, and welcome to the podcast that's taking the internet by storm when it comes to the electrical industry. I am telling you what, since we started this, I think we're up to episode 38. The emails keep rolling in, and I appreciate it, and I promise you I will get to them all as soon as I can. I had no idea that people really wanted a resource in order to get true answers when it comes to the NEC or in the electrical industry in general. So again, I thank you for sending those in. And remember, you can send your questions. All you have to do is go to paulabernathy.com. And there you will see you put your name in, your email address. If you want to be anonymous, put whatever name you want and create a Gmail account that you want to use or whatever. It doesn't matter. And ask your question. And I will answer your question and respond back to either the email, or if selected, you will be utilized in an upcoming podcast like today's episode. Now, before we get started, again, we want to thank everybody for supporting us. If you really want to learn the National Electrical Code, you really want to get a deeper understanding of it, not just to be able to take people's word for it, but you really want to know how to research it, understand it, look it up, and you want to be able to join us on Wednesday nights for our live sessions, and you just want to learn the NEC better, think about getting into our Fast Tracks program. It's not just for exam prep. It's for anybody, electrician, inspectors, that want to learn the NEC and partake in the process. Then you can join us and work through that program. It is a unique patented program. And you also get to be able to join us on our live streams on Wednesday nights and ask questions. So check it out. Again, go over to masterthenec.com or go to electrical code academy.net and you can get there as well. Just look for the Fast Tracks. Right? If you're interested in grounding and bonding, residential, commercial, industrial wiring programs, electricity 101, we have those as well. Check out our website again, electrical code academy.net. Okay. All right. So let's kind of get into today's topic. So today's question, a gentleman says, Paul, greetings. Can you please explain the 10-foot tap rule for feeders? I am confused and I see all kinds of explanations on the internet. Can you explain it to me and break it down so that I understand it? Thanks again. All right. No problem. Put that phone down there. Okay. So basically, there's a lot of things that deal with tap rules. And I will remind you that I have an entire series on secondary conductor taps, which basically derived conductors from the secondary. We use the term tap, but really secondary conductors, sizing and all that stuff that we would follow in 240.21C. But when it comes to like feeder taps in 240.21B, we also have a video series on that as well, but it's only available to those that are subscribers in our monthly program. So if you want to get access to those exclusive videos and podcasts, go check it out over at electrocodeacademy.net. You'll see a subscription button there. It's $9.99 a month. You can cancel at any time. So get what you need. And if you want to sit there and just binge it and then you want to cancel it, that's fine. You can come and go as you please, or you can show your patronage and you can do a annual membership and you get access to it for a year. That's really up to you. We wanted it to be a resource for you in a repository in one location. So check that out if you're interested in something like that. Okay, so let me answer this question. So this is talking about the 10-foot. We've heard it referred to as a 10-foot tap rule. And so we're going to look at it. Now, let me real quick to get rid of some concepts that people get lost in the tap rules. So this is a feeder tap rule. This has nothing to do with tapping service conductors or making a connection on the supply side. The code allows that in the code, and you get permission to do that on the supply side of service equipment. This is all permitted in 230.82. So you get different things that would allow you to be on the supply side, okay? But those are not taps, and they don't technically fall under something like tap rules, okay? That's not what we're talking about here. So we were talking about feeders. So remember, 230.82, that's for equipment connected on the supply side of service disconnect. We're talking about feeder taps here. So it is very much to do with tapping a feeder. Now, it's important to understand what a feeder is, because a feeder is from your service equipment to any remote distribution panel downstream, where the ultimately you'll have branch circuits that go from the last overcurrent protected device out to a piece of equipment. Now, you could have larger cables that go from a panel to a piece of equipment, and you might think because of the size of it that that's a feeder, but it's not. It's a branch circuit. Okay? Now, so it's kind of the concept. So one thing that we know is that we can go to Article 100. We can look at the definition of feeders. We understand what branch circuits are. We understand what service entrance conductors. And of course, that gets more in depth because we have service entrance conductors overhead, service entrance conductors underground. We have service laterals, service drops, service entrance cables. And so we have all these definitions, but we do have a definition of feeder. So today we're focusing on feeders. So for our application, typically, this is obviously going to be on the load side of a service disconnecting means. This is a feeder that we're talking about. So dissected away from branch circuits and focus on the fact that we're talking about the feeder. All right, so 240.21, we're going to read it because there's a general rule, and then we can get into the feeder taps under 240.21b and try to nail this question, because the question really was only about B1. Although we do have a very in-depth series that I encourage you to become a member over there and go check it out. All right, and it's probably on the 2017, but there isn't any significant changes that much to make it too big of a big deal to worry about. So again, it's still relevant. I might not have updated it for 2020 code, but I can't remember. There's always new content to create, by the way. It's just things constantly keep changing. All right, so let's read 240.21 general charging statement under location. And it says, overcurrent protection shall be provided in each ungrounded circuit conductor, okay, and shall be located at the point where the conductors receive their supply, okay, so this is at the source where it comes in from the panel, except as specified in 240.21A through H. It says, conductors supplied under 240.21A through H shall not supply another conductor except through an overcurrent protective device required, meeting the requirements of 240.4. So this is a constant way of saying you can't tap a tap. So you can't take a feeder and then you can't tap a feeder again. And so that's their code's subtle way of saying, look, you can't tap a tap, and if you do tap a feeder that is a tap conductor, now you're going to have overcurrent protection in accordance with 240.4. So you don't tap a tap. This is their way of saying that. All right, for us, let's jump to B, because this answers a question that the gentleman submitted, feeder taps. It says, conductors shall be permitted to be tapped without overcurrent protection at the tap. So this is a feeder that we need to tap onto it. And so the tap conductors are from whatever the load would be that we're actually running those conductors, and we're going to be tapping onto the feeder. Okay, now, this is saying that I'm not going to have any overcurrent protected device at the tap location. So it means from the tap conductors, when they connect to the feeder, there's no overcurrent protection there. And that is okay, as long as we meet these rules. So let's keep them going. It says, conductors shall be permitted to be tapped without overcurrent protection at the tap to a feeder as specified in 240.21B1 through B5. So there's five different applications here. All right, it says the tap shall be permitted at any point on the load side of the feeder overcurrent protective device. Now, I usually stop right here, because there's where a lot of people get confused. So if I have a feeder overcurrent protective device, I can tap that feeder that is on the load side of that feeder overcurrent protective device anywhere on that feeder, even at the terminals. So if that breaker happens to have multiple terminals, I can apply a 10-foot tap rule at those terminals. Yeah, it's not just to the conductor. And the importance of this clarification in the 2020 is to make it clear that it says that I can tap it at what? At any point on the load side of the feeder overcurrent protective device. So either at the lugs or anywhere along that feeder, I can make this connection with those tap conductors. And it's much more complicated to actually or not complicated, to tap a conductor, then you got to make sure the tap is right and it's insulated and whatnot. Or if you have an overcurrent device on the load side that has multiple lugs, then you could make the connection there and apply the tap rule there if it's applicable to your installation. And many people do. So I did want people to realize that they'd like to think that this only means that you can tap the conductor itself, and that is not true. You can tap the feeders all the way up to the point on the load side of the overcurrent protected device of that feeder, and you're okay to do so. Right? That's why I wanted to really emphasize that. Then it also goes on to say section 240.4b shall not be permitted for tap conductors. So this is, you're not allowed to do the next size up rule. That's what's covered in 240.4. Yeah, if the overcurrent device doesn't correspond and you're not doing brand circuits and it's not exceeding 800 amps, typically you're allowed to, 240.4b would allow you to go up to the next size overcurrent device. Well, you can't do that here. So when it comes to the feeder taps, that last sentence there prohibits you from using the next size up rule, okay? So you size your conductors based on whatever your load is, okay? And whatever device it's terminating into. Now, we're worried about the size of these conductors because that's a general statement. And you can't use next size up. Now we're going to get into the rules dealing with B1. And this is for taps that are not going to be over 10 feet, okay? So it says in 240.21B1, taps not over 10 feet long. So this is from the feeder, making the tap to the feeder. Those tap conductors are not more than 10 feet to the point that they terminate onto a piece of equipment, okay? So that's a limited distance, 10 feet, okay? Now, it's not the feeder plus the tap. This is the limitation on the tap conductors itself. Remember, I can tap anywhere in the feeder I want. This is tapping onto that feeder. Okay. So let's look at it. So here's what the code says. It says taps not over 10 feet long, and we're at B1 in case folks that are following along in 240.21B1. I know you folks out there on the job site, sometimes you can pause it, get the guys and gals together, have a little code moment every morning before you start. Or if you're listening in your car or whatnot, you can always pause and go look these things up and come back to the podcast. It says if the length of the tap conductor does not exceed 10 feet, and the tap conductors comply with all of the following, not part of the following, so they can't be more than 10 feet, and those tap conductors must comply with all of the following that we're going to read. And there's four conditions here, okay, that we have to meet. All right, so again, the whole concept here is to what? We don't want overcurrent protection at our tap, and we don't the conductors not to be longer than 10 feet, and if we meet all these rules, then we don't have to have overcurrent protection at the tap. But we have to determine what is the size of those tap conductors based on this tap rule. And this is for feeders. So here's the first one. It says, number one, it says the ampacity of the tap conductor is, and here you have a 1 and you have a 1A and B. So it says, number 1A says, so these tap conductors have to have an ampacity not less than the combined calculated load on the circuits supplied by the tap conductors. Okay, so first rule here is that if I have tap conductors, it's 10-foot rule, and I have to know what the actual combined calculated load for all the loads that are being supplied by those tap conductors, and it cannot have an ampacity, this tap conductors cannot have an ampacity less than the combined calculated load. So you got to add your loads up. Okay, and you would, you know, can't be less than that. Okay, that's the first point we have to make. And then there's a B. And remember, you got to meet them both. B says, okay, also, the ampacity of those tap conductors, and again, we're talking 10-foot rule here, cannot be less than the rating of the equipment containing an overcurrent device supplied by the tap conductors. Or not less than the rating of the overcurrent protected device at the termination of the tap conductors. So what we're talking about here is, for simplicity's sake, if I'm doing a tap and I'm tapping it off of that and I'm tapping it onto a panel that is rated 100 amps, and as maybe say it has a main breaker in there, let's say it's rated 100 amps, then the conductor, one, has to be able to handle the combined load, but it can't be less than that. but it also can't be less than the rating of the equipment containing an overcurrent device supplied by the tap conductors, or not less than the rating of the overcurrent protected device at the termination of those tap conductors. So it's going to require you to, one, make sure it can handle the calculated load, and two, it's not going to be let it be less than the rating of the equipment that it connects to or the overcurrent protected device that it connects to, okay? All right, so we're just talking the general rules here because we do have an exception that has to do with things like surge protected devices, and obviously those conductors tend to be smaller, but you're going to follow the manufacturer's listings for that and follow their guidelines to have that exception take place. And they usually come with the conductors that are already built into the surge protected device. So that's how they get around this based on a listing and lengths and all those type of things. Okay, number two, it says the tap conductors do not extend beyond the single board switchgear or panel board disconnecting means or control device they supply. So when you tap those feeders and it's 10-foot rule, once they go into switchboard, switchgear, panel board, disconnecting means, or any type of control device that's being supplied by these taps, they cannot extend beyond that. That's it. They have to end there. Okay. Next, three, it says, except at the point of connection to the feeder. So we're talking about the physical connection to the feeder itself. It says the tap conductors are enclosed in a raceway, which extends from the tap to the enclosure of the enclosed switchboard, switchgear, a panel board or control device, or to the back of an open switchboard. So basically from the tap, except for where it makes a tap. So for example, it could make a tap in a wireway, but that's the tap location. But once those tap conductors leave that wireway in order to go out to their panel board, control device, switchboard, switchgear, or again, the back of an open switchboard, it has to be in what? It has to be in a raceway. Now, I'll remind you that EMT is a raceway. PVC, Schedule A, Schedule 4 is a raceway. They're all raceways, even though EMT is a tubing and PVC is a conduit, they are still raceways, okay? So keep that in mind in the concept of you painting that mental picture of what you're using here. You'll notice that it does not say cables because a raceway is not a cable, okay? So again, keeping all that in that mental concept. Number four, for field installations, and I think all of them would be where we're doing it in the field, it says if the tap conductors leave the enclosure or vault in which the tap is made, the ampacity of the tap conductors is not less than 1/10 of the rating of the overcurrent protective device protecting the feeder. All right, so let's wrap our head around that. So we can get an understanding. So we have all these rules we have to meet. And this, again, is the you have to meet all of them. So if we have a field installation issue and these tap conductors are leaving the enclosure to where the tap is, and again, most of the time that would be the case, they're going to be going away from the closure where the tap's made, then if that's the case, another threshold that we have to meet for the ampacity is that it can't be less. Now, it might be bigger because of the other variables that we've looked at or whatever the calculated load is and all that, but this is just saying, look, for field installations, it cannot be less, these tap conductors cannot be less than 1/10 of the rating, of the overcurrent protected device of the feeder. So let's say that that's a 1,000-amp rated feeder overcurrent protection device. So 1/10 of 1,000 is what? So 1,000, y'all all know the answer to that, right? But 1,000 divided by 10% is 100. So the ampacity of those conductors could not be less than 100 amps. Now, of course, it might be more than that based on the parameters of B11 and the loads that we have to do or whatever it's terminating into. But this is just saying, look, I'm just telling you, for the field installation aspect of it, it still can't be less. The tap itself cannot be less than 1/10 of the rating of the overcurrent protective device for the feeder conductors, right? So that ampacity of those tap conductors cannot be less than 1/10. So again, if it's a 1,000-amp feeder and it's a 1,000-amp overcurrent protective device for that feeder, and we know that one of the rules here for the field installation where we're making a connection from that wireway where that tap took place out to the piece of equipment, that we know one of the thresholds that we can't have is that we know that it can't be less than 1/10 of whatever the rating is of that feeder protection. And if it's 1,000 amps, 100 amps is 1/10 of that 1,000. So those ampacities of those conductors would have to be at least 100 amps. Now, they may be more, again, based on the requirements for the conductors in B1, 1, A, and B, depending on what it's terminating onto. But this is just trying to give you minimum sizes that you need. Now, can you go larger than that? Absolutely. Absolutely. The one thing I remember also that I tell people about it is if I were to take a feeder and it's full size, whatever the feeder is, and I tap onto it with a conductor that's exactly the same size as that feeder, then that's not the tap rule. Tap rule doesn't apply. It's the same size. It's basically just an extension of that feeder. It's really all it is. So you're not applying any tap rules. The whole purpose of a tap rule is making a connection onto the feeder with a conductor that ultimately is smaller than the feeder that's being protected by an overcurrent device that normally would not protect those smaller tap conductors based on the general rules within the NEC where we're required to protect a conductor. So that's why we have these tap rules. But if I tape a 500 KC mil and I tap it with another 500 KC mil, then that's not a feeder tap. I mean, theoretically, you are tapping a feeder, but these you're not going to apply these tap rules, if you will, the same way. Okay, it's the same conductors. Right? It's just a splice, if you will, right? Okay. All right, anyway, so that hopefully that explains it a little more and give you a little more insight on how to apply this 10-foot tap rule. Hopefully you got something out of that today. If you liked what you heard, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you share with other people. Make sure you go look at electricianlive.com because we have a lot of shows over there. We have the Master the NEC segments. We have the Electrify podcast and video segments, rebroadcasts of our Thursday nights. And then, of course, we have the Let's Ask Paul. You can go there and listen to these episodes as well. But again, you also can go to paulabernathy.com and listen to them there as well. Again, so many places you can listen on Spotify, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Just search for Ask Paul, search for National Electrical Code, search for Master the NEC. I listen on my Alexa devices. You can do that in all different other types of devices. I use Spotify a lot to listen to my shows and other shows. So there's so many ways that you can listen and share on a job site through your headphones, whatever. Get your head into the code, become a more rounded code person. It's going to make your job as an electrician so much easier. You really will start to understand what you do, and that's so important. Folks, hopefully you enjoyed this. If you have a question, go to paulabernathy.com, submit your question, and I will answer it for you. Till next time, folks, stay safe. God bless.